Raytheon admitted that it failed to disclose cost or pricing data as required by TINA regarding its labor and material costs to supply weapon systems to DoD. Raytheon also admitted that they misrepresented its costs during the contract negotiations, it overcharged the U.S. on these contracts, and received profits in excess of the negotiated profit rates. Further, Raytheon admitted that it failed to disclose truthful cost or pricing data on a contract to staff a radar station. Raytheon also admitted that it billed the same costs twice on a DoD contract.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome, everyone. Michael Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. And today we're going to talk about the blockbuster Raytheon settlement with the Justice Department and the SEC as well, and the payment of approximately $950 million to resolve False Claims Act violations, FCPA violations, and ITAR, International Traffic in Arms Regulations violations. It's been a long time since the DOJ has announced an FCPA blockbuster, but we got one just recently. We had heard about the reserve of money by RTX, the new name for Raytheon. Raytheon here agreed to pay $950 million to resolve the DOJ's investigations, multiple investigations. One involving a major government fraud scheme involving defective pricing on certain government contracts. The second, violations of the FCPA. Third, the violations of the Arms Export Control Act and its implementing regulations, the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, ITAR. Raytheon entered into two, mind you, three-year deferred prosecution agreements, which were filed one in the Eastern District of New York involving the FCPA and ITAR, and one in the District of Massachusetts involving the criminal fraud conspiracy as well as a False Claims Act settlement. Each of the DPAs carried with them the filing of a criminal information, charging Raytheon with two counts of major fraud against the United States in the District of Massachusetts and another information charging bribery violations as well. So Raytheon admitted to engaging in two separate schemes to defraud the Department of Defense relating to the provision of defense articles and services, including the Patriot missile system and a radar system. So with regard to the Eastern District of New York settlement, like I said, Raytheon agreed to the filing of the criminal information with two counts, that being for a scheme to bribe a government official in Qatar and a conspiracy to violate the AECA for willfully failing to disclose the bribes in export licensing applications with the Department of State. The Justice Department's FCPA and ITAR resolution was coordinated with the SEC as well. Now, both DPAs require that Raytheon retain an independent compliance monitor for 3 years, enhance its internal compliance program, report evidence of additional misconduct, and cooperate. And Raytheon also reached a separate False Claims Act settlement with the Justice Department relating to the defective pricing schemes, which we'll talk about in a minute. Now, applying the corporate enforcement program factors, the Justice Department resolved the criminal fraud case against Raytheon based on the nature and seriousness of the offense conduct, two separate schemes to defraud the U.S. government. They received credit for its affirmative acceptance of responsibility and cooperation. They facilitated interviews, provided information, made detailed presentations, proactively identified key documents, engaged experts to conduct financial analyses, and demonstrated a willingness to disclose all relevant facts by analyzing whether the crime fraud exception applied to certain potentially privileged documents and releasing the documents that it deemed fell within the exception. However, in the initial phases of the investigation prior to March 2022, DOJ noted that Raytheon's cooperation was limited by unreasonably slow document productions. Raytheon also engaged in timely remedial measures, including terminating certain employees who were responsible for the pricing misconduct, establishing a broad defective pricing awareness campaign, developing and implementing policies, procedures, and controls relating to defective pricing compliance, and engaging additional resources with appropriate expertise to evaluate and test the new policies, procedures, and controls. In light of these considerations, the criminal penalty ultimately given by the Justice Department reflects a 25% reduction off the 10th percentile above the low end of the otherwise applicable guidelines. Now, the FCPA resolution, the Justice Department cited the same factors under its corporate enforcement policy, but cited these remedial measures. One, they recalibrated their third-party review and approval processes to lower company risk tolerance. Raytheon implemented enhanced controls over sales intermediary payments, hired and empowered subject matter experts to oversee its anti-corruption compliance program and third-party management, implemented data analytics to improve third-party monitoring, and developed a multi-pronged communication strategy. And in the end, they got a 20% reduction off the 20th percentile above the low end of the guidelines range. The ITAR resolution involved the same factors again, but the remedial actions included hiring an additional empowered subject matter experts in legal and compliance, developing a multi-pronged communication strategy, and making enhancements to its ITAR-related compliance program. The financial penalty of $21 million included a cooperation remediation credit of 25% off the otherwise applicable penalty. Now let's talk for 1 second about the False Claims Act settlement. Under the False Claims Act settlement, which is the second largest government procurement fraud recovery under the act, Raytheon will pay $428 million for knowingly failing to provide truthful, certified cost and pricing data during negotiations on numerous government contracts between 2009 and 2020 in violation of the Truth in Negotiations Act, called TINA. And Congress enacted TINA in 1962 to help level the playing field in sole source contracts where there's no price competition by making sure that government negotiators have access to the cost or pricing data that the offeror used when developing its proposal. Raytheon admitted that it failed to disclose cost or pricing data as required by TINA regarding its labor and material costs to supply weapon systems to DoD. Raytheon also admitted that they misrepresented its costs during the contract negotiations. It overcharged the U.S. on these contracts and received profits in excess of the negotiated profit rates. Further, Raytheon admitted that it failed to disclose truthful cost or pricing data on a contract to staff a radar station. Raytheon also admitted that it billed the same costs twice on a DoD contract. Raytheon received credit under the DOJ guidelines for taking disclosure, cooperation, and remediation into account in the False Claims Act case. That cooperation included conducting and disclosing the results of an internal investigation, disclosing relevant facts and material not known to the government, providing DOJ with inculpatory evidence, conducting a damages analysis, identifying and separating individuals responsible for or involved in the misconduct, and improving its overall compliance program. So another interesting aspect of the Raytheon settlement and the second largest defense procurement False Claims Act case. Let's talk a little bit more about the criminal aspect, the criminal conduct related to the pricing fraud. But Raytheon's misconduct occurred here in different parts of the company, involving different parts of different laws. Raytheon's weak culture appears to have permeated every aspect of this large conglomerate, and the scorecard reveals quite a picture of malfunctions and misconduct. Starting first with the defective pricing fraud, which we've already outlined in terms of the False Claims Act, these were contract negotiations concerning two contracts with the U.S. for the benefit of a foreign partner, one to purchase Patriot missile systems and the other to operate and maintain a radar system. And the false and fraudulent information resulted in a criminal penalty of $146 million and $111 million in victim compensation, and obviously the retention of a compliance monitor. in pursuant to the DPA, they're under obligations to enhance their compliance program. Now, one implication for a defense company like Raytheon is the Justice Department's resolution ensures that appropriate federal agencies can proceed with determining whether Raytheon or any other individuals or entities associated with the company should be suspended or debarred as federal contractors. This can be a real kiss of death. Pursuant to the FAR, Federal Acquisition Regulations, when more than one agency has an interest in an entity's potential suspension or debarment, the FAR requires that the Interagency Suspension and Debarment Committee, ISDC, identify the lead agency for conducting government-wide suspension or debarment proceedings. In connection with this resolution, the Justice Department referred Raytheon's factual admissions to the appropriate officials within the Department of Defense to initiate the process for the ISDC. And this could lead to administrative proceedings, which could have, separate from the Justice Department's criminal and civil resolutions, which could have a significant impact. Now, Raytheon's FCPA case, let's talk about the facts underlying that. Raytheon's FCPA violations occurred with regard to fees and commissions and payments made to Qatari government officials. The portion of the settlement was filed in the Eastern District of New York. Raytheon formed a joint venture with a French company. Its bribery scheme involved a subsidiary of the joint venture called Integrated Defense Systems, IDS, which was controlled by Raytheon. So it was a subsidiary of a joint venture, which was controlled by Raytheon. Between 2012 and 2016, Raytheon, through IDS employees and agents, engaged in a scheme to bribe a high-level official at the Qatar Emiri Air Force, QEAF, a branch of Qatar's armed forces that was primarily responsible for the conduct of air warfare. In order to assist Raytheon in obtaining and retaining business from the QEAF, that's from the Air Force and from the armed forces, including four supplemental additions to a 1998 contract between Raytheon and the Gulf Corporation Council, GCC, an intergovernmental union of six member states, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. Two of the four contracts related solely to operations in Qatar. And second, a sole source contract to build a joint operation center, a JOC, that would interface with Qatar's several military branches. To this end, and to pay bribes to the Qatar foreign official, Raytheon entered into and made payments on sham subcontracts for air defense operations related studies in order to corruptly obtain the Qatar Air Force's official assistance in securing certain air defense contracts. Raytheon paid $2 million for the defense studies that were added to the GCC contracts. But interestingly, Raytheon actually prepared the studies themselves. Their own employees did it, passed them to the third party, controlled by the Qatari official, who then invoiced Raytheon for $2 million as a bribe payment. The air defense studies were drafted by Raytheon employees, shared among Raytheon employees by using personal email accounts to shield detection, and sanitized to ensure that there was no references to Raytheon employees. Now, Raytheon also entered into a teaming agreement with a Qatari entity in order to corruptly obtain the Qatari Air Force's official assistance in awarding a potential contract to build a joint operations center that would interface with Qatar's several military branches. Raytheon and the teaming entity agreed to subcontract a portion of that contract to a Qatar entity, which would funnel payments to the Qatari government official. The contract for the JOC was ultimately canceled for unrelated reasons. Now, Raytheon earned approximately $36.7 million in profits from the four additions to the GCC contract described above and expected to earn over $72 million more had the JOC contract come to fruition. Under the terms of the DPA, Raytheon is going to pay a criminal monetary penalty of $230.4 million for the FCPA violations, including a forfeiture of $36 million, and retain, again, an independent compliance monitor for 3 years. In addition, As part of the resolution and the SEC's parallel investigation, Raytheon will pay approximately $49 million in disgorgement and prejudgment interest and a civil penalty of $75 million, $22 million of which will be credited against the criminal monetary penalty. The Justice Department also agreed to credit approximately $7.4 million of the disgorgement Raytheon pays to the SEC against the criminal forfeiture. In a separate settlement, Raytheon admitted to engaging in a scheme to willfully violate ITAR by failing to disclose to the State Department, DTTC, fees and commissions paid in connection with two Qatari-related contracts. The bribes, basically paid by Raytheon to the high-level Air Force official through the sham subcontracts, and you're required to disclose any kind of commission payments in forms required by the DTTC when you use a third-party consultant or a broker on a particular matter. Well, that's an interesting set of facts all the way around here, folks. Raytheon, a blockbuster settlement, and we'll see what happens. The independent compliance monitor should be appointed relatively soon for 3 years, and they've got their hands full with a culture that clearly engaged in lawless behavior for a long period of time. Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon next week with another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.